This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, you may do so by regular mail or through my website, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. My website has this program on it. You can re-listen to it there, and there's a weekly meditation there as well as tracts and other information that you might find helpful. So you might want to get a pencil out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now we're looking at the Old Testament men of faith, men and women of faith, and we have actually come to Elijah, and he's a very interesting case. Elijah ministers first, and then we have him passing the mantle to Elisha, and they minister during a period of real decline in the history of Israel. Ahab had become king, and his wife Jezebel was a pagan priestess and led the people into idolatry, the worship of Baal, and so it had become a very dark period as far as God was concerned. The children of Israel were actually doing the things that they had driven the Canaanites out of the land for doing, and God said that the Israelites were doing them worse. So we come to 1 Kings 17, verse 1, and we read, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" Now we pointed out in previous programs that it had been predicted in the Old Testament, in the Pentateuch, in the writings of Moses, that when the children of Israel departed from the Lord, that the Lord would withhold the rain. And so that had finally come to pass. The miracle here probably is the timing of the prophecy being fulfilled, and Ahab, and being able to tell Ahab first when the rain would stop and when the rain would start. But it wasn't capricious on the part of Elijah to pray this way, because he knew that it was time for God to fulfill his promise so that Israel would realize that God was still the living and true God, that Jehovah was the one they should be worshiping and not these pagan idols. And so he said, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook that I have commanded, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, what's interesting is that one of my life's verses has always been Matthew 6:33, which says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." We don't get saved. We don't come to know the Lord until being saved is the first and most important thing in our life. Until we realize what happens to the unsaved, that we are, as an unsaved person, on a broad and crowded road that leads to destruction. And when we realize that, and then when we realize we can do nothing to save ourselves and come to Christ, we get peace with God. We get a home in heaven. We get our sins forgiven. And it's a wonderful thing. And we begin an adventure with God at that time. It's a new life. It's a new beginning. And I like to call it an adventure with God. And we're seeing that adventure on the part of Elijah. He had put the Lord first, and in predicting that the rain would stop, and the rain did stop, he himself was caught up in the famine that resulted from that. But the Lord had a way of taking care of him. Now, you would have assumed that there would have been faithful in Israel who would have been glad for Elijah's ministry, who would have been available to preserve his life during this period of the famine, but instead the Lord uses an unclean bird, a meat-eating bird, one that they could not eat in the Old Testament and spoke of unbelievers. He used that bird to preserve Elijah's life, and I marvel at that. I firmly believe that we should not expect unbelievers to support the work of the Lord, and yet oftentimes we find that when Christians fail, when the Israelites fail, when we are so far away from the Lord that we don't understand the program of God, the judgment of God, or the provision of God, when we're so far away from the Lord that we aren't usable to God, God then often does use unbelievers to preserve those who are doing his work. They may provide them meals, they may provide them emotional support, but they often are used. So in a sense, I'm looking at this in an allegorical way, that those ravens, those unclean animals, were used to preserve the ministry of Elijah. Now, we find then that it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Now, it's interesting that this widow was also a Gentile. Now, I don't know whether she would have been a Gentile believer or not, but I suspect that she was not a Gentile believer. Sidon was a Phoenician city, actually as part of modern-day Lebanon. And so, again, we find Elijah is being sent to a non-Israelite to have his needs met. And when he comes to the gate of that city, if you read the story, this woman is collecting sticks in order to make one last meal for her and her son. And then they're planning on dying. So this famine has affected more than the nation of Israel. And when the children of faith, when people who are supposed to be people of faith turn away from the Lord, it is true that that affects the people around them. And so this woman was caught up in this famine as well, and she was, and Elijah asked her to bring him a glass of water. And when she goes to get him the water, he says, "And bring me a little something to eat." And she says, "I don't have anything to feed you. I was going to make this one last meal for me and my son, and then we were going to die." And he says, "You bring it to me first." Again, we have that verse, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you." And so she does what Elijah asks her to do. After all, what difference does it make if they have one more meal when there's nothing else left? And when she brings that meal to him, the barrel that had the meal in it continued to have meal in it, and the cruse that had oil in it continued to have oil in it, and that those sources of sustenance did not fail until the rain came and the famine was broken. And so this woman was blessed because she did what she was supposed to do for Elijah. She helped him, and she was blessed by it. Elijah was seeking the kingdom of God first, and now this woman had done what Elijah asked her, and well, while it may not have been a voluntary thing on her part yet, it was something that she did. She sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the Lord blessed her for it. Now, when I look at our lives as Christians, and I tell people that we've come to know the Lord, that we're saved, that there was a time in our lives when we trusted him and things changed for us, what they don't seem to understand is that at that point we begin an adventure with God. And it's an exciting thing to walk with God. Sometimes you come to a point in your life, in your Christian experience, where you think you're between a rock and a hard spot. And you say, well, what are we going to do now? And we're going to see that in Elisha's ministry, they came to that point when there was an army surrounding the city of Dothan, and his servant says to Elisha, "What are we going to do now?" And Elisha says, "Oh, Lord, show him." And And he opened his eyes and he saw chariots of fire around that city of Dothan protecting the city. We don't see those things sometimes, but we who are saved, we have angels ministering to us and for us. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have God who is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And we start a journey of faith, but it's an exciting adventure with God. I remember the day when I lost my job at a secular workplace. And I had been praying about that job. I wasn't happy in it. I wasn't happy about the things they were asking me to do. But I wasn't prepared to lose it either. But when I lost that job and I came home and told my wife I had been praying for a new job opportunity by this particular date when I lost the job, and I lost the job on that date, and we're beginning an adventure with God. It was exciting in a way to know that God was going to be guiding us and leading us and forcing us to be dependent upon him. I wouldn't have been dependent on the Lord if I could have been dependent on myself. I freely confess that. But now I have to depend on the Lord for guidance as to what I'm to do, and for my financial well-being, I have to depend on the Lord. And thank God the Lord has been faithful to us down through these years. It all starts that moment when we trust him, and we don't read about that moment in Elijah's life, but there had to be one when he came first to be a true child of God and a servant of God. And now he's walking a life of faith, and he's getting to see God work through him. And of course, God had given him the ability to be a prophet. And because he was a prophet, he was able to do some miraculous things that I'll never be able to do. Although every time somebody comes to faith in Christ, I consider it a great miracle. Every time we get financial support from a source that we were not expecting, it's a miracle. And many times those tokens of support for us come at times when we wonder what we're going to do the next day to pay some bills. So the Lord has helped us to enjoy an adventure with God. And so in this case, again, it took a person who was not one of the faithful of Israel to support Elijah. It was a Gentile woman. Now, if she wasn't a woman of faith when Elijah came, I know she had to be before he left, because her son dies. And she comes to Elijah and asks him if he's come to make her remember her sins, and if he's come to judge her, and Elijah is able to raise that son from the dead, and there's new life given to that son. And so this woman too was blessed. She was tried, but she was blessed because she did what God wanted her to do in taking care of Elijah. Have you begun your adventure with God? Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon our listeners. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.